Open your Bibles with me this morning to Joshua chapter 1, verse 9. This is a great passage. Joshua chapter 1, verse 9. We're spending a few weeks looking at one of the most frequent instructions in the Bible. Don't be afraid. So this morning, don't be afraid, part 2. Don't you like my clever titles? God doesn't want us go through life being afraid of anything. I don't know whether you watch the 1 minute walkbacks on our website or not. I generally don't do those because I don't think on my feet as well as the rest of the staff does. But if you check it out, we were asked what was our most irrational fear. And Daniel McGinty does those, and he just walked down the hall asking us. He had his camera with him, just walking down the hall asking us. Daniel Reclus' most irrational fear is having to crawl through a tight space way down in a black, dark cave. What are the chances of Daniel Reclus ever having to crawl through a little tight space? Zero. Zero. And, you know, my irrational fears of snakes. I'm a country boy, and I said I'm especially nervous about them at night. And McKinty said, "You're afraid of night snakes?" I said, "No. No, snakes come out at night." So, you know, we all have these irrational fears, probably not as bizarre as ours. Medieval cartographers or map makers used to sketch in the edges of their maps the words "Hic sunt dragons," which means "there be dragons." You know, their thinking was, this map documents all the known world out beyond that which has been explored. All of our uncertainties exist out there, and beyond that which we've explored, there must be dragons out there. There's one particular map that is not quite that way. It's called the Psalter map. It has paintings of dragons down the outer edge, but then across the top it has a beautiful painting of Jesus and the angels, you know, as if to say, yeah, you know, here are the boundaries of our understanding, and beyond this is nothing but uncertainties, but above all of that is Jesus. Jesus over all of that. And since Jesus is over all our uncertainties, we don't need to be afraid. We kind of began here last week thinking about uncertainties in life, uncertainty of our job, uncertainty of health, uncertainty of illness, uncertainty of finances, uncertainty of family relationships, and so on and so forth. There's no end to the number of uncertainties in life. But folks, we've got to remember, above all that is Jesus. Above all that is Jesus. And since there's Jesus, we don't need to be afraid of any of the other things in life. Really, one of the most frequent instructions in all of the Bible, coming from the voice of God, is don't be afraid. I'm over all of that. Well, Joshua chapter 1, verse 9, great passage. Let me just read it here as we consider, don't be afraid. God speaking to Joshua says, "Haven't I commanded you? Be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid or discouraged, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go." That's a great promise. On Wednesday nights, we've been talking about the target audiences of God. obviously the initial target audience of God here is Joshua, God speaking to Joshua, one man. But here we are all these millennium later, and God knew when he wrote these words, we were going to be looking at this morning, God knew when he wrote these words, you were going to be paying attention to this passage this morning. So perhaps the largest target audience is us. The target audience that God primarily had in mind was you. So in speaking to you, God says, don't be afraid. We began this last week, can kind of pick up where we left off last week. Let's recognize as we begin here that one reason that we shouldn't be afraid is because we're told here to be strong. Be strong. God's instruction begins here in verse 9 with, haven't I commanded you, be strong? Those of you who were here last Sunday will remember that we looked at Isaiah chapter 41, verse 10, where God says, do not fear, for I am with you. Do not be afraid, for I am your God. I will strengthen you. You know, there are many things in life that strengthen us. Things in life strengthen everyone. The question is really not whether or not we're afraid. The question is whether or not we're defeated by our fear, whether or not we're broken by our fear. The difference between the person who is strengthened in the Lord and the one who is defeated by fear is the ability to stand up or stand up again, as the case may be. Being strong in the Lord means standing up. Look at Ephesians chapter 6, beginning of verse 10. Be strengthened by the Lord and by his vast strength. Put on the full armor of God so that you can stand against the tactics of the devil. This is why you must take up the full armor of God so that you may be able to resist in the evil day, and having prepared everything, to take your stand. Stand, therefore. From the rubble of life, after the destructive force of the emotional hurricanes that ravage life, the one who is strong in the Lord rises up, or stands back up, if you will. Stands back up to his or her feet, unbroken, undefeated, strong in the Lord. This strength in the Lord is not so much an offensive position as it is a defensive position. The ability to withstand the worst the world has to throw at us. So being strong in the Lord means being immovable, like a mighty rock turning its massive face against the heavy breaking waves of the deep sea, one deep rising storm-blown crash after another, beaten but unbroken. Psalm chapter 16, verse 8. I keep the Lord in mind always, because he is at my right hand, I will not be shaken. Psalm 55, 22. Cast your burden on the Lord and he will support you. He will never allow the righteous to be shaken. Proverbs chapter 10, verse 30. The righteous will never be shaken. So, the one who is strong in the Lord is the one who does not fear the threats of life. Don't be afraid. Be courageous is the next thing he says in verse 9. Haven't I commanded you be strong and courageous? Courage is an interesting concept. People will often say, I'm not very brave, Pastor, or I'm not a person of courage. I don't have courage. And I know in their minds they're kind of thinking, perhaps this is a genetic thing. This is part of my DNA. Perhaps this is something that's handed down from one generation to another, and maybe it's skipping a generation with me, or this is just not my family line. We're not a brave people. We're not a courageous people. The idea in their minds, I can tell, is it's kind of an emotion. It's kind of an attitude. That's That's not the idea at all. Courage is not the absence of fear, but action in the face of fear. Jeff Strucker, one of the Army Rangers featured in the movie, and by the way, the true story, Black Hawk Down. He's also a Christ follower. One scene shows Strucker, played by Brian Van Holt, responding to a soldier who did not want to go back into the fight, and this really happened. So Strucker told him, and I quote, "The difference between being a coward and a hero is not whether you're scared or not. It's what you do while you're scared." You see, God knows what he's calling on Joshua to do here. That's the whole idea of the passage. He knows what he's calling on Joshua to do. And he knows that Joshua has a bosom of fear in the doing of it, and yet he's asking Joshua to do it anyway, overcome his fear. The ingredient we need to introduce at this point is faith. The only way Joshua was going to be able to do what God was asking him to do was to trust God. This kind of courage is not absence of fear, but the presence of faith. God is saying, don't let fear paralyze you. Don't let fear stop you. Don't let fear hamstring you. Stand up. Collect yourself. Be courageous. Trust me. Let's move out. Let's move forward together. That was his instruction to Joshua. It's his instruction to us also. Isn't that the way we want life to be? Starting instead of stopping. Moving instead of moping. Trusting instead of tripping. Always holding on to God, and yet always moving forward. Not afraid. God says, don't be afraid. I know it's scary. It's always scary. Trust me. And let's move out. There's a third thing. Don't be afraid. Be encouraged. Sticking right here in verse 9. Be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid or discouraged. Let me just say this. When it comes to not being afraid in life of the subject we've studied last Sunday and this Sunday, to me, this is the most important. Discouragement's a killer. It'll kill us. You may have heard of the time the devil was having yard sale and he had all of his tools on sale out in the yard, and people were coming by and looking at his tools. There was hatred, jealousy, deceit, lying, pride, all of them marked at very expensive prices. But over to the side of the yard was a tool being displayed. It was obviously the most worn. It was also the most expensive. And it was marked discouragement. And Satan explained. He said, when I can't bring down a victim using any of my other tools, I always beat them using discouragement because they don't know it belongs to me. Discouragement does not come from God. Discouragement comes from Satan. Discouragement doesn't come from God. Discouragement comes from culture. Although I think sometimes they don't mean to, or rarely ever mean to, discouragement doesn't come from God, but discouragement can come from our family. Discouragement can come from our friends. Let me just say this. we look around us and we compare ourselves to those around us and we measure ourselves against false standards and we discourage ourselves. We become discouraged ourselves. But hear what's being said. Discouragement doesn't come from God. God's a God of encouragement. God's a God of encouragement. We may not know this, but God does. Romans chapter 8, verse 31. What then are we to say about these things? If God is for us, who's against us? What's the answer to that? Nobody. Nobody. Romans 15, verse 13. May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, so that you may overflow with hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. Man, that's great. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 58. Be steadfast, immovable, always excelling in the Lord's work, knowing that your labor in the Lord is not in vain. And then John 10:10, these great words from Jesus. A thief comes only to steal and kill and to destroy. I've come that you may have life and have it in abundance. This word to you from God this morning. Don't be discouraged. God says, that's not from me. Be encouraged. That's my tool. One last one we see here. Don't be afraid. Be mindful. That's the way I want to tag it. Be mindful of what? Man, listen to this. Listen to this in verse 9. God says, the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. Actually, if you look at it, this is the reason given for not being afraid or discouraged. God says, do not be afraid or discouraged. Why? Because the Lord God is with you wherever you go. I'm with you wherever you go. So don't be discouraged and don't be afraid. I'm going to always be with you. You remember last week in Isaiah 41:10? God says, do not fear, for I am with you. See, being mindful of God's constant presence is the way to deal with fear, Scripture tells us. Here's another one, Deuteronomy chapter 31, verse 8. The Lord is the one who will go before you. He will be with you. He will not leave you or forsake you. Do not be afraid or discouraged. You know, I came across this a couple weeks ago. Did you know the President of the United States has the ability, the technology, it's been provided for him. The President of the United States can communicate with every smartphone in the nation at one time. He can send out a text message. All of us will get it at one time. That was put in place by President George W. Bush. It's called the Wireless Emergency Alert System. President Bush just saw the need because of the condition of the world and all that was going on. He saw the need to be able to communicate with everybody all at one time. It's never been done, but the president has that ability. So, wherever you go, whatever you do, no matter who you are, if you have a phone, the president can text you. But here's something better. Wherever you go, whatever you do, no matter who you are, if you have a heart, if you have a soul, the God of all creation is with you. He's with you. I read a story about a young boy whose mother died. It rocked his world. Turned his life upside down, hollowed out his soul. And he was afraid to sleep by himself. So his dad let him come in and sleep with him. And they, because he was so afraid, they had this ritual they went through at night. Little boy got in bed first. Dad turned out the light, and then he climbed to bed. And the ritual was the little boy would say, "Daddy, are you here?" And Daddy would say, "Yes, hon, I'm here." And the little boy would ask, "Daddy, are you beside me?" And the man would say, "Yes, honey, I'm beside you." And then finally the little boy would say, "Daddy, are you looking at me?" And the dad would say, "Yes, honey, I'm looking at you. All is well. Let's go to sleep." You know, we're afraid. We're afraid of all the uncertainties in life. We can't know what the future holds. We fear the worst. There be dragons, you know. "Father, are you here?" He says, "Yes, son, I'm here." "Father, are you beside me?" "Yes, son, I'm beside you." "Father, are you looking at me?" "Yes, hon, I'm looking at you. All is well. Let's get some rest." Don't be afraid of anything. Jesus is over all. Father God, our lives.